Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ with Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this program at any other time, we invite you to call that same number and leave a voicemail with your question or concern, and we'll talk about it soon here on Basic Gospel. Either way, we'd like to hear from you now at 844-322-2742. Once again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and Richard, welcome back to these microphones. It's great to have you again.
Thank you. It's been like 2 weeks and you had me back.
That's right.
Something must have gone wrong. I don't know.
Maybe you missed us.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. It's, whatever it is, we're glad you're here today.
Yeah. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, welcome.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Okay. So this month we're studying the New Covenant, and I talked with Bob Christopher yesterday. He says, yeah, we're getting into the application part of it. How does it apply to your life?
Yeah.
And he asked me to cover something this today, and I'm happy to do that. I have some experience with this, so yeah. I can talk about it. If you've got a Bible and you're not driving in a car, turn to Genesis chapter 2. And in verses 2 and 3, you'll find this statement. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, rested from all his work which God had created and made. There's some interesting words there.
Yeah.
The first one is completed. This word means to consummate or finish. It's a statement that God had completed all of creation. This is a defense against evolution thinking.
Right.
An evolutionist won't believe this. That's okay. It's their right not to believe. But if you're a Christian, claim to be a Christian, this verse tells you that creation was done. It doesn't tell you that God kind of started it and walked away just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
He had completed it. Rested means just that. However, you can't think of it the way we think of rest. God did not just stop and sit down and have a cold drink,
right?
You know, with a fan blowing on him. No, he continued to support the entire creation that he had just completed. He rested from creation because there was no more creating to do.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. We'll return to it. Blessed means, quite literally, to kneel, salute, or greet. It's in some ways a way to say hello, but what God did on this day was to say hello to rest.
Yeah.
It's a very friendly term. It's a happy term.
Uh-huh.
And then sanctified, even in Hebrew, means the same thing as sanctified in Greek. Means to be set apart, to be holy, etc. And so God came to the seventh day, and all of creation was completed, and he said, wow, this is cool. I'm sure he didn't say that.
Yeah.
But you know, when I've completed a project that means a lot to me, and it works, it's just there, You're just so satisfied with the result. And God was perfectly satisfied with his perfect creation, and so he rested from creation because there was no more to do.
Right.
All right? Note, in this passage, nothing on the seventh day regarding evening and morning. If you go to Genesis 1 and you read the list,
every day
had an evening and a morning, the first day, the second day, all the way to the sixth day. The seventh day didn't have an evening and morning. The seventh day did not, even when we know there was a physical evening and morning associated with it. This rest, blessing, and sanctification were spiritual realities intended to be eternal. God is spirit. He had just created physicality.
Mm-hmm.
No one had imagined such a thing before, at least in the ways that he did it.
Yeah.
And he gets done, and it's perfect. It's the most awesome thing ever imagined in the history of ever. And he's got Adam and Eve there, and they're perfect, and the animals are perfect, and the plants are perfect, and the firmament is perfect. Everything in the universe is perfect. And God sits down and goes, yes, this is done.
Even warthogs?
Even warthogs. Well, I don't know. Warthogs might be the result of sin, but we'll hold that to a different time. So God wasn't saying, I'm done, I'm walking away. He says, I'm done with this, and now I will continue to support it mm-hmm. for the rest of time.
Yes.
All right? Okay, so Adam and Eve sin. They rebel. What happened? They died spiritually. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Amongst other things, it means they lost the rest that they were born into,
yes.
so to speak. They were born innocent. They were born perfect, created that way, and they lost that. And all the way up until Israel was freed from slavery and the Mosaic Covenant was given, people didn't have this rest. And so in Exodus, God gave them rest of a form. Starts in verse 8. I won't read that whole commandment, but it starts with, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then it goes through verse 10 and explains a whole bunch of stuff. So humanity lost Sabbath when Adam and Eve rebelled. That was in Genesis 3. They died spiritually, so no rest was available. God restored a shadow of creation rest with the Mosaic Covenant. Mm-hmm. Right? He had finished his work of freeing them from slavery, so now reminded them of their spiritual need of rest. They didn't know from rest.
Right.
I mean, they've been slaves for 400
years.
You know, they got up, they did what they did when they were told to do it, and they went home when they were told to go home. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't told to go home, you didn't go home. You kept working. As he did at the introduction to the commandments, remember, the commandments start off with, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So he did with the weekly Sabbath, a little later in this passage. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth. That is, he declared in both places his sole right to their belief and practice. I am God. I did this. Therefore, I can claim this of you. And what he claimed of them was a 24-hour period of time. The Mosaic Sabbath had a definite beginning and end, sundown Friday through sundown Saturday. This is how we know it was a shadow of the promised Messiah. It wasn't the replacement for the Sabbath in Eden,
right.
which was intended to be eternal spiritual rest in God, mm-hmm. the Creator. But he gave it to them and said, I want 1/7 of your time, and I want you to worship me only. And I'll leave the other 6 days for you to work. And sadly, they never got this, but we'll get to that. Fast forward to Hebrews chapter 3. In verses 18 and 19, it says this. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? See? Told you. You got to obey or die.
Yeah.
It continues. So, we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So, disobedience is equated to unbelief
right.
in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. The people who received the Mosaic Covenant never entered God's rest. Why? Because they never believed him.
Right, right.
Right? Move to Hebrews 4. In verse 2, it says, For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Mm-hmm. So now what he's done is equate disobedience, unbelief, and lack of faith. And in fact, according to chapter 2, even Joshua, who was another model of Jesus, did not provide Israel rest. Again, the writer here is setting up his point regarding a shadow fulfilled in Christ. That the whole letter of Hebrews is nothing but here's a shadow, here's Jesus the reality. Here's yeah. another shadow, here's Jesus the reality. In this context, he's talking about the shadow of rest mm-hmm. and that Jesus is the fulfillment of that shadow. Is that good news? Well, yeah, but how good is it? Go to verses 9 to 11 in Hebrews 4. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And for many, many years, I took that verse and said, see, yeah. if you don't keep Saturday as the Sabbath, you're lost. completely missing the point of what he had just said. Sure. So what I was doing was trying to substitute my observance of a 24-hour period of time for Jesus.
Yeah.
It continues. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We already know in this passage that disobedience, unbelief, and lack of faith are the same thing.
Yes.
Okay? And that's what I was showing in my old life. Well, Lord, I've done this and this and this and this. And he looked at me and went, so?
So?
he says to me, now, I created the universe, and I created it perfect. Adam and Eve messed up. You were born in Adam, so you by definition have messed up, but I took care of this. I sent Jesus. Jesus completed the problem of sin, wiped it out once and for all, came back from the dead, was resurrected, destroying the problem of death. Mm-hmm. And then he hands it to me, hands it to you, hands it to anyone who believes, right? Who are the people of God? People of God are those who have accepted Jesus, who have been declared sons and daughters of God.
Mm-hmm, right.
We now rest from our labor of trying to save ourselves by resting in Jesus, who succeeded on our behalf. His victory over sin and death is now our victory over sin and death. We are secure. Nothing can separate us from his love. No one can snatch us out of his hand. Truly, this is rest. Mm-hmm. So take a look at Jesus. Say thank you for that your completed work, sit down and have a cold drink and say, this is the life.
What a study. Thank you, Richard, for putting that together for us. Very, very insightful, and I enjoyed that very much. I wonder if you could make those notes available, that we could post them on
Sure. The
website. I think that would be great.
Yeah,
I think people would really, really like to have that.
Okay.
So thank you for that.
Sure.
All right, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper joining me today, and we would love for you to join us by phone again at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we want to say thanks by sending you an excellent resource. It's entitled The New Covenant Journey. It's a journey that will take you to a place of rest and equip you to live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest. The New Covenant Journey. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of this wonderful resource that we're making available to you, our listeners who support this ministry. You're going to enjoy this trip. I just know you are. Again, make your gift at basicgospel.net. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And right now, we're going to swing out to California, and we're going to talk to Lindy. Lindy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob and Richard. Hey. God bless you both in Jesus' name.
Hey there.
Thank you.
I would really just like to share one of my favorite verses in regards to the amount of fear that is out there in the world today because of the president and all his minions and all that's going on in this world today. And what it says is it's Isaiah 35:4, and it says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, for your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, thank you. That's a beautiful verse. That's something my wife and I have been talking about a lot over the last month or so. The amount of fear that is floating around our country in other parts of the world is just incredible.
Yeah.
It's almost
totally
unbelievable, except I've talked to people who are suffering from this kind of fear. And it happens whether you're a liberal or a conservative, a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. It's a people problem, not a political problem. And I honestly believe that people have to start making wiser choices about the things they listen to or read or watch online or get in social media, because there are so many lies out there. And then there's truth out there, but it's misinterpreted truth. And if all you do is listen to the things that support your fear, then you're going to get crazy.
Great
point. It doesn't matter what it is. And if President Biden turns out to be the Antichrist, big whoop. Jesus is in charge. Our God is in charge.
Yeah.
Right? If President Trump was the Antichrist, well then praise Jesus, because we've been saved from that.
Yeah.
But don't go there.
Right.
If you don't go there, then you don't have to deal with the craziness. I go to a church that has lost something like 40 or 50% of its members throughout the COVID process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
not to the disease itself.
Not to the disease itself, but to being angry.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so my son-in-law is a pastor at this church, and he's had these conversations with people. How come you're asking people to wear a mask? How dare you? And then, 5 minutes later, somebody else calls on the phone and says, how dare you tell us it's okay not to wear a mask? And you're getting opposite sides of this from people who you thought were brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And some of them have gotten, way too many of them have gotten so angry, they have walked away.
Mm.
That is a tragedy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who your church is. If you've got people who have walked away because they're more afraid of the disease and someone's response to it than they are about loving Jesus and allowing him to work through them so that they can help people who have been struck down by this disease, whether it's just, they're sick for a few days or whether they've lost loved ones.
Yeah.
I mean, how great is it when we're able to step into a situation like that and bring the gospel? You don't have to be passing out some book and saying, well, if you don't believe this, you're going to hell. It's a chance to just come alongside someone and let the Holy Spirit talk through you and love through you. And this verse in Isaiah is a perfect example of that. Stop being afraid.
Yeah.
Trust the one true God who has you in his hands. What has he said? Jesus said in John 10, no one can snatch you out of my hand.
Right.
Yeah. No one.
That's no right. one.
That's security, no folks.
Yeah.
If you're a child of God, that's how secure you are. So stop being afraid. Let the Holy Spirit continue to renew your mind and move on through your life, knowing that you are being used by the one true God to help people when you meet them where they are.
Yeah. Lindy, see what you did?
The hair on the back of my neck is standing up. That was quite invigorating. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Lindy. Good to hear from you.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:18, which it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, we lost her.
Yeah.
He's reconciled us to himself, not counting our sins against us.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jesus came and he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Yeah. Nothing better than that.
Absolutely. Lindy, we didn't cut you off. Something happened. So anyway, well, great question to start the broadcast with, and a great lesson that you did at the beginning of the program, Richard. So we're off to a really great start on this edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, we would love for you to be a part of it. And you don't have a long time to do that because we're getting down close to the end. So if you have a question, get on that phone right now. And that number, 844-322-2742. This question from our friend B, Richard, she says, were the death and resurrection of Jesus two parts of the same redemption process, or was his death for our eternal life and his resurrection for our life on earth?
Okay. The best way to think of it is the first option she gave. They were both necessary for the redemption process to be complete.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about what happened with Adam and Eve. They rebelled. They believed Satan's lies that God didn't have their back. And so they went it on their own. They died spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that moment, they were spiritually separated from God. Well, what do dead people do? They act like dead people.
Sure.
And so sin became the dominant factor in humanity. And we call that indwelling sin. You're born with it. There is no innocent child born in this world.
Right.
Just watch them for a few months. They are the selfiest, most selfish, noisiest, least patient people on the face of the earth, except
indeed,
maybe me. But that's the way humanity is. And so when Jesus came, he he emptied himself of his inherent godness without ceasing to be God. Don't ask me how he did that. And he took upon himself humanity, not sinful humanity, the second Adam humanity. He was perfect in every respect. So even though he could have lived a perfect life, he chose to live in perfect dependence, mm-hmm. which is the thing we can't do.
Right.
Okay. I know people who have behaved really, really well their whole lives. And if the rest of us just looked at them, you'd say, well, they're going to heaven. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Depends on if you've relied on Jesus and walked by faith. So Jesus lived the life you and I couldn't live. And then because he was such a threat to Jewish leadership, and in fact Roman leadership, they killed him.
Yeah.
Well, in John 10, he says, the Father loves me because he has given me the authority to lay my life down and to pick it up again. So go to the cross, and there he is. He's becoming sin. And the moment you know that he has become sin, he says, why have you forsaken me? Sin separated Jesus from God. And then he says, here's my life. I give you my spirit. And he laid it down. So that was his, one of God's gifts to him, is to lay his life down, completely victorious over sin. He became sin without ever becoming sinful. So therefore, he once and for all solved the sin problem for me. 3 days later, he was raised from the tomb. He could do that himself. But the Bible also tells us the Father raised him and that the Holy Spirit raised him. The Godhead came together and said, that's enough.
Yeah.
And he was raised. So now he's completely victorious over death. Both of those, sin and death. Well, what kind of death? Spiritual death.
Right.
So what Jesus did was to reverse the process started in Adam and Eve. They sinned and died spiritually and then learned how to sin physically. Jesus came and never sinned physically because he knew how to walk by faith in his Father, mm-hmm. and then was raised again physically as victorious over spiritual death. That's why when we accept him, he can give us the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's where the second part of her answer comes in. The Holy Spirit enables us to live life here on earth while we're still here physically.
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. Remember, Jesus was raised incorruptible. He was raised with a new kind of body. And we have yet to get that body.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we will not all sleep. Not everyone will die, but every one of us will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet of God. That's when we know that the whole thing is complete, and Jesus is responsible for all of it. So
right, yeah.
He died for sin once for all, completely victorious, freeing us from that slavery. He raised from the dead, completely victorious, gives us his eternal life, which no one can snatch from us, as we talked about before, and then has promised us that we will be changed when he returns, whether we're in the ground or whether we're alive.
Yeah.
Both ways, we're still changed. It's all Jesus. It's none of us. Come on, folks. This is good news.
Yes, it is.
Again, grab your cold drink, sit down on a rocking chair on your front porch, and enjoy this eternal life.
I'm going to do this final one to you really, really quick. How do you know you're living from your heart and not your head?
If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, you have a testimony in your heart that you belong to him, that you have eternal life. That's found in 1 John chapter 5. Look it up. Hold on to it, because it's another proof that you can't be separated from Jesus.
Yeah. Richard, so good to have you on the broadcast today. Thank you for the tremendous insight at the outset of the broadcast, and we want to have you back real, real soon. Well, friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask you to support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, we have a copy of a rich resource for you by Bob Christopher. It's called The New Covenant Journey. Written by Bob Christopher, as I said, to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with sincere thanks to our good friend and brother Richard Piper for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.